Welcome to a deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Philippians. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
In the body of Christ, some biblical unselfish examples in the body of Christ. So often people set themselves up as being the, what we call stars and celebrities. You know, we live in a day and age of stars and celebrities. And if a person pastors a big church, we look at that person as being a good role model. Or if that person got a lot of money, we'll look at them as being successful. Or if they drive nice cars or stay in nice houses, we say that's a successful Christian. But the Bible shows us a different kind of successful Christian. As a matter of fact, what the Bible really focuses in on is unselfish Christian. What the Bible, the people that I really esteem with God, is unselfish believers. So let's take a look at what is a some unselfish examples in the body of Christ. Now, most people today, we live in a day and age of what I call the Burger King society, where people are trying to have it their way. The McDonald's society. Folks are looking for a happy meal. They just want something that's going to make them happy. A happy meal. They ain't so much looking for the truth. They're looking for a happy meal. Something that's going to make them happy. But when you really get into these epistles, the General Electric Power Company. Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say the General Electric Power Company? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Is that right? All right, that's the General Electric Power Company. When you look at them four books there, if you really get in there and do what it tells you to do, boy, you'll be a powerful Christian. You done plugged into some power. Now notice these first couple of verses. It tells us about having an unselfish mind or a single mind. Now notice the key word as we look through this passage, it's going to be mine, okay? Let's take a look. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be of the same. Come on, help me out. Mine. Be like-minded, having the same love, being on one accord of one mind. You see that? Let nothing be done through strife. Don't even come to choir practice with strife. Don't come to leadership with strife. To start something. That's what we're talking about. Don't come there. The church, the start some. We'll try to get to church. I'm going to tell you. No, I said, don't come like that. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Oh, just wait till they see what I got. That's vain glory. Oh, I'm going to make them jealous when they see when I pull mine out. Huh? They're going to get jealous when they see mine. That's vain glory. They're going to get jealous when they see my purple suit. Look at that. She didn't want to laugh, but you had to laugh. That was, I know you had to laugh. All right. But look, it says, let nothing. You know, a lot of times, folks act like, even though we live in an educated society, information age, but folks look like they have problems with little words like nothing. Huh? Nothing. Let nothing be done through strife, vain glory. Down at the mission, we used to have a sign in the cafeteria that says, absolutely no seconds. And then at the bottom of the sign, it says, now, what is it that you can't understand by the word no? Because folks, when they finish eating, they come right on back up there. Can I have, I got a sign. Now, what you don't understand about the word no? N-O, the word no, but it's real big. No seconds. But they don't understand no. Sometimes our children don't understand no. You say, you can't have that. Then they come back 10 minutes later. Can I have such a... Now, what is it you can't understand by the word no? Huh? It says, let nothing be done through strife of vainglory. Well, you trying to get the glory. You know, God, that's something that God will share. He's a good God. He'll share a whole bunch of stuff. But he said, I ain't sharing my glory. In other words, God said, see, God lets you be seen in the choir. He lets you be seen when you're preaching. He lets you be seen whenever you're doing anything, when you give somebody. But he said, you better give me the credit for it. That's my glory. Don't you be taking all the glory. Somebody them say, oh, you sure sung good to them. I say, oh, shucks, what can I say? You know? No, you better say, praise God, then, child. Praise the Lord. You better give him all the praise and give him all the glory. Because the Bible says a man by the name of Herod, everybody say, oh, Herod, oh, you looking so good. You look like you could be God. And he said, oh, shucks. And next thing you know, he turned into a worm. Trying to steal God's glory. Folks say, boy, he should have said right quick. Uh-uh, don't y'all say I'm looking like God. No, no, no. I'm a long way from that. Because God will show you what you really are. You dust. He'll turn you right back to dust just like that. Yeah. See, God shows up for church. You ask him to come, don't you? Well, you better act like he is. Yeah, don't you be stealing the glory from him. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go on a little further. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but how? In lowliness of mind. Underline that word mind. You see how it keep popping up? Let each esteem others better than himself. Oh! Wow! Now that's preaching material there. Oh, I'm trying my best to go on past this. But ooh, when you see a verse like that, Reverend Boy, you can't help but just make a comment on it. You know what I'm talking about? See, the Christian lie is about putting other people first. It's about helping somebody else. See, the thing that bothers me today is we got a church full of covetousness people. People are coming to church so I can have what he got, so I can drive what he's driving, so I can stay in a house like what she got. You look at them today. You look at them today. You go to some of these preachers' websites, and they tell you how to join the millionaire club. They ain't telling you how to be saved. Tell you how to join the millionaire club. How you can, in other words, they don't set themselves up as being the standard. And they brag about, you know, how many Rolls Royces they got. You see what I'm saying? But if they're doing so good, why is it at the end of their message, they say, now, if you've been blessed, you need to send some men. Huh? Sell one of them Rolls Royces, brother. I mean, you was talking real good about what you had. Just say one of them rolls. You know, gotta pay for some good appetite. You must not be doing that good. You got a big at the end. Let's go on, y'all. That's preaching material, though. That's for another time. It says, look not, look, look. Everybody say, look. It says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. See, we keep stumbling over these good verses. This is preaching material. Look not every man on his own thing. Don't come to church thinking about you all the time. It says you ought to come there thinking about how I can be blessed to bless somebody else. I'm coming here to get some information so that I can learn how to put this information to practice where I can go home and bless my family. I'll go on my job and be a blessing on my job. A sister asked me the other day on my job about a certain question. I'm coming to church tonight. See, can I get this question answered for her? You see what I'm saying? We ought not come to church to be greedy people. Oh, my goodness. Let's go on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Underline that word, mind. Who being in the form of God, oh my Lord, did not think it was robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of a man, and been found in the fashion of a man, he humbled. Somebody ought to say humble. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Ooh, that's preaching material. All right, so our first example is Jesus himself. Oh, my goodness. See, listen, God ain't gonna ask you to do something if he don't do it himself. Isn't that something? So he told us early on about having the right kind of mind, having the unselfish mind, that we ought to be thinking about others rather than thinking about ourselves. And then he started listening for four biblical examples. The first biblical example of unselfishness is Jesus Christ himself. And notice what the Bible says. The Bible says he emptied himself. Wow. Did you see that? The Bible says that Jesus got ready to come on a mission, but before he came on a mission, the Bible says he emptied himself. He left self in heaven. Isn't that something? He emptied himself. Wow. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that when Christ got ready to do his mission, he emptied himself. What is it talking about when he emptied himself? Did he ever stop being God? Did he empty himself of God? No. He emptied himself of the prerogative to use his God's power for himself. Remember, the devil came to him and said, Jesus, you God, brother. You know, if you truly the Son of God, and that word if there is a third, it could be used as the word since. Since you're God, turn the stones into bread. In other words, use your power, bro. Ain't no sense in coming down here and being hungry. I mean, you got the power. You could turn that bread, you could turn that rock into a tuna fish sandwich right there. That tuna fish right there for you. All you got to do is just turn that. All you got to do is speak the word, buddy. You could either speak it or you could spit on it. You could touch it. You could thank it. You can come out always. You can have your Big Mac sandwich right there. Two beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions. On a sesame seed bun, right there. But even when Jesus was tired and thirsty, remember he met a woman at the well and said, give me some water to drink. Man, Jesus could have just made him some water. But he emptied himself of self, even on the cross. He was fully God, but fully man. He says, I'm thirsty, on that cross, didn't he? When he was dying for our sin. Jesus could have easily had him a sponge of whatever kind of juice he wanted right there in his mouth. But he emptied himself even to the last hour. He didn't use his power. Matter of fact, he told him in the Bible there, he says, listen, Peter, put up your sword, man. I could call on the Father right now, and I could have got 12 legion of angels to come down here. Put up your sword. Suffered it to be so, like the scripture said. We got to go by the book on this. Amen. He went by the book. Isn't that something? He emptied himself of self. Now, many of us, we probably would have when we got in trouble. Huh? We would have gave in for slapping us and whooping us all night long. Man, we would have sent all kind of lightning bolts out of heaven. Choom, choom. Is I'm right about it. Now, he could have done all of that. He could have done all of that. But he never used his power for himself. Did you notice that? And even when he fed the 5,000, it didn't say he ate anything. I don't know if he ate anything or not, but it didn't say he ate anything. But we do know he fed them first if he did eat anything. Isn't that something? Because he told the men to sit down in ranks of 50. And then he went on and passed out the food. Amen. They had 12 baskets left over. Amen. So if he had anything, it was some leftover. Woo, isn't that something? That's the kind of God I like. I like that. I like a God that put me first before he put himself. And if he have anything, he have some leftover. That's how much he loved us. He emptied himself. So what do that tell me about what we ought to do? Before I come to preach, I need to empty myself of self. I used to hear preachers. You may have heard this. I used to hear preachers pray, Father, hide me behind the cross that folks can see Jesus rather than me. Now I know what they're talking about. Amen. Now I know what they're talking about. And that's how it is when you sing. Whenever you go out before the folks, you want folks to see Jesus. It's like John chapter 12. The Bible said there were some Greeks, some men came from Greece, and they said, we want to see Jesus. Folks ain't just coming to church to see the choir sing, not the real folks. Folks are coming to see Jesus. Yes, they are. You just happen to be the visible representative of God. But they're coming to see Jesus. And if you ain't coming to see Jesus, you done set your gaze too low. As a matter of fact, you just should have stayed at the nightclub. If you just wanted some good entertainment. Now, I'm talking about some good entertainment. Because they got it in the nightclub. If you got some, I mean, you're selling yourself short if you come into church to try to find entertainment. Because they got it out there in the world. Man, you can't tell me nothing. Jane Brown, 40, 50 years. Woo, I feel good. Huh? That man, 50-something, done been in show business 50 years. He can't spin around like he used to in the 60s and do the split. But a few years ago, they still bought him up there. They had to have him to come out there in a golf cart. But but they packed that stadium, that Super Bowl stadium, to see Jane Brown. I mean, that name, I mean, he still got it, that entertainer. Amen. I mean, he can still take that leg like nobody else can. He still can make that microphone. I don't know how he do it. It's almost like one of them punching bags. You can make it fall down and come back up. Boy, that Jane Brown. Michael Jackson had to go on and tell it. He said he had, you know, he copied a lot of his stuff from Jane Brown. Amen. I used to think I was going to be Jane Brown. Come on now, wait a minute, wait a minute now. Every little boy that grew up in the 60s and early 70s, because it wasn't too many black folks showing up on television. When Jane Brown showed up on Ed Sullivan, everybody went to school that Monday morning. Jane Brown, we Jane Brown. Everybody went and tore limbs down, putting a stick down and turning around before a stick and stuff. All of that. Jane Brown. Is that right about it? Come on, help me somebody. Amen. See, y'all was the Michael Jackson crowd, but my crowd was the Jane Brown. Amen. I used to think I was going to be the Jane Brown. I used to try to do them splits, Brother Booker. Them splits. Amen. Jane, I feel good. Boy, my daddy said, you say that again in this house, you are going to feel good. Daddy would call everything that one church song. You sang in the blues. I don't want to hear them blues. We bringing them blues in this house. But he emptied himself, and that's what you got to do, empty yourself. So our first example is Jesus. Second example is Paul. Paul is the second example. Look at verse number 12. It says, wherefore, my beloved, we have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now listen, get this verse down. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work out. Work it out. High five somebody and say, work it out, work it out, work it out, work it out. See, if you say God done worked it in you, now you got to work it out of you. If you say it, I ought to see you being saved. It ought to be more than just lip service, Lord, save me. No, no, no. I need to see you act like the Lord done saved you. That's why they say if you really want to know whether or not a person is saved, don't ask the person. Ask the person that lived with that person. Somebody say, well, that's right. Because you can fool some of the folks at church some of the time. You can fool folks that don't know you all the time. But them that live with you, you can't fool them hardly any of the time. Is I'm right about that? Folks that know you, they can be sitting right here in church, and you can have a shout going on, and folks that really know you say, dang, she needs to sit down. She needs to sit down. There ain't no Holy Ghost. She acts the same way with her Jane Brown music on at the house. And that ain't no Holy Spirit that Jane Brown be got in there. Is I'm right about it? Oh, my goodness. It's too convicting. Let's move on. Look at verse number 13. For it is God who worketh in you. Didn't I tell you that? Both to do what? To will and to do of his will.
Sent down the glory. If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.